WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia is the first southern state to abolish the death penalty. And we have that story in a conversation with the governor. Spring has sprung, and it's not just winter that's in the rearview mirror, but also some pandemic-related restrictions as local universities and Shenandoah National Park start to open up more. And have you seen a bald eagle lately? My wife and I saw one driving around Harrisonburg last month. And according to new data, bald eagle populations have quadrupled in the lower 48 states. This is the WMRA Daily. It's Thursday, March 25th. Governor Ralph Northam has signed legislation ending the death penalty in Virginia, making the Commonwealth the first state to abolish the death penalty. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
The death chamber has gone dark, and the days of Virginia executing people has come to a close. Governor Ralph Northam commemorated the moment by traveling to the Greensville Correctional Center to take a tour of the room where inmates were executed. Then he walked outside and signed legislation abolishing capital punishment in Virginia.
Like many people, when I was young, I believed in an eye for an eye. But as I matured, my mind changed. And when I ran for office, I committed to work on ending the death penalty in Virginia.
That journey involved years of advocacy, with groups slowly winning over lawmakers to the cause. Ultimately, the effort dovetailed with protests against police brutality in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. Senator Scott Servo says skeptics were won over by concerns about potentially executing the innocent.
And that is the one argument that nobody ever countered on the floor. We had this argument for 2 hours in the Senate. Not a single person could say, how do you justify killing one innocent person for every 9 guilty people that you execute? Nobody can justify that.
The legislation removes the phrase capital murder from the code, replacing it with aggravated murder. I'm Michael Pope.
In an exclusive interview, VPM's Whitney Evans spoke to Governor Northam moments after he signed the ban on capital punishment into law. Northam began by talking about what that change means for Virginia.
This is a big day for the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I think it's a really important step in the right direction. We have over 400 years of history, as most people know, in Virginia. And while there's been a lot of good history, the death penalty is not. And so, for years we've talked about this. I have felt very strongly that we should repeal the death penalty in Virginia, and you know, with the House and the Senate makeup like they were this year, I just felt the timing and the opportunity was there, and so we made this part of our priority, our legislative package this year. And a lot of people have worked very hard on this, a lot of advocates, the legislators just made this a top priority, and we were able to get it done. And I hope that other governors, other legislatures in the South realize that from an equity perspective, the death penalty really needs to go. We do not need it. It's inequitable, and we've done a lot of great work in Virginia with criminal justice reform and police reform. We know that a tremendous amount of resources go into supporting the death penalty. We know that it's not a deterrent. And then finally, just especially after taking a tour of the death chamber, it's inhumane. And as humans, we need to do better. And I'm proud that Virginia has taken the lead in the South to finally end the death penalty. And things take time. We all understand that. But I'm hopeful that other states in the South follow suit and do the right thing as well.
You mentioned the steps that Virginia has taken to change criminal justice laws, to improve equity, and to correct past wrongs. Virginia still has so much more left to do to make those wrongs right. Where should our priorities be at this point?
I think you're exactly right. And, you know, things do happen, and sometimes small steps, sometimes large steps. I would consider this a large step. And, you know, we've done things like raise the felony larceny threshold from $200 to $1,000. We've stopped taking people's licenses away just because they couldn't pay their court fees and fines. And obviously, we'll continue to watch and look at laws that are on the books. If they are contributing to Virginia being inequitable, then we'll certainly address those. But I think we've made a lot of progress in the last few years with equity in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
I know a lot of people right now are thinking about what's going to happen with marijuana legalization. While we're waiting for this to be legalized in the state, are you going to take action?
I agree with a lot of those people. And, you know, as a physician, We took a monumental step a couple years ago to approve the use for medicinal marijuana, and that has gone well. And then last year we decriminalized marijuana, which again is an equity issue. If one looks at the number of individuals that use marijuana, it's equal between people of color and white people. But the number of arrests and convictions is 3 to 4 times as high. And so, to your point, we've taken a big step to legalize the recreational use of marijuana. And I personally don't think that we should be arresting or penalizing someone for doing something that we're getting ready to legalize. So our team is looking at that now. We're communicating with the advocates. We're communicating with our legislators. And, you know, reconvened session is on April the 7th. And I plan to place a number of amendments in front of the legislature, and hopefully we'll be able to move those forward.
That was VPM's Whitney Evans speaking with Governor Northam after he signed legislation Wednesday abolishing the death penalty. Well, as pandemic restrictions are lifted, Shenandoah National Park is beginning to open up more for spring visits. In a news release Wednesday, the park says its 2 visitor centers are now open, with rangers providing information at outdoor contact stations. Park stores located inside are open with limited capacity. Campgrounds, restaurants, and lodges will begin to open up one by one beginning today. The University of Virginia says students may begin gathering outside in groups of up to 25 as long as everyone wears a mask and physical distancing is observed. The Daily Progress reports that UVA officials made the decision because of the decline in COVID-19 cases. The indoor limit for students remains at 6. Requests for groups of more than that must be approved by a student affairs review team. That team has approved spring cultural programming and concert events for as many as 300 individuals, provided plans are in place for, quote, strict observance of all public health measures. And James Madison University plans to return to in-person classes this fall. In an email Wednesday, President Jonathan Alger cited the decline in the COVID-19 positivity rate and increased vaccination rates. Alger said that if statewide restrictions on public gatherings and requirements for physical distancing continue to be lifted, JMU could return to more of a pre-pandemic classroom and campus experience for students, faculty, and staff this fall. WMRA's operating license is held by JMU's Board of Visitors. We always remind you of that when we have a JMU-related story. Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland announced Wednesday that bald eagle populations have quadrupled in the lower 48 states since 2009. Virginia Public Radio's Pamela DeAngelo reports.
For eagle lovers and conservationists, the numbers are heartening when you consider there were only 417 nesting pairs of bald eagles back in 1963. By banning a pesticide that was poisoning the birds and decades of conservation efforts, there are now nearly 72,000 breeding pairs. Secretary Haaland gave a nod to the crowdsourcing efforts of everyday people.
And I want to emphasize how important that citizen science data is and how grateful we are for all of those folks who are out there committed to our environment.
Of the thousands of nesting pairs, Virginia has about 2,000. Brian Watts heads William & Mary Center for Conservation Biology and the 3-member A-team that has been counting the raptors for 30 years. In 1977, Virginia only had 30 pairs of nesting eagles. The James River is an example of progress.
The James was at 0 in the mid-1970s, and this year we're at about 340 pairs. It's been a dramatic recovery, spectacular. I mean, it's hard to go anywhere in Tidewater, Virginia now and not see eagles overhead.
Watts and the A-team are retiring at the end of this year. I'm Pamela DeAngelo.
Finally today, the last president has only been out of office for 2 months, but he's already back on the airwaves in Virginia ahead of a GOP nominating convention in May. Ben Pavier with VPM in Richmond reports.
The 7 GOP candidates include Glenn Youngkin. He's a businessman whose latest TV ad plays up his work helping Trump ink a new trade deal with China.
President Trump brought together real business leaders like Glenn Youngkin and stood up to China.
Glenn Youngkin of Carlisle, great group.
Youngkin is not alone. Pete Snyder, another millionaire candidate, has emphasized his ties to the former president and echoed his rhetoric on issues like immigration. Political analyst Bob Holsworth says these candidates are aiming for conservatives who traditionally show up to conventions.
Everyone seems to be moving to the right and moving to really try to mobilize Trump supporters.
But Holsworth says that could be a risky strategy if they make it to the general election.
The Republican Party in Virginia right now, because of Trump, is somewhat toxic.
Trump lost Virginia by 10 points last year, the largest margin of any presidential candidate since 1988. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Thursday.